Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to this week's Brave New World programme. Most countries do not recognise Israel's annexation of East Jerusalem and maintain their embassies in Tel Aviv. President Trump's recent decision to break that consensus has led to Washington being isolated by the United Nations Security Council. Now what, one may ask, is the reason for Washington's behaviour, which is inconsistent with past resolutions? To talk about this, I welcome to the programme Rob Torp, an American TV commentator, best-selling author, and writer for Huffington Post. Good day, Rob.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for joining our program. Now, Rob, I have a suspicion that President Trump's actions might be connected with the fact that Trump fears he might lose his evangelical base.
I've been thinking about this for the past week or so, and analyzing Donald Trump is something that I don't even know if Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein combined could really come up with sometimes the correct definitive answers. There are a lot of reasons that he does what he does, and I think there could be an appeasement of the religious right. There is also the fact that he has big donors who are Jewish, and I am Jewish, like Sheldon Adelson. But I'm going to bring up another fact that a lot of people haven't been considering, which is Donald Trump has always said that John Kerry was a terrible negotiator. He didn't like Obama's foreign policy, and this is a way for him to undo, he's been trying to undo a lot of what Obama did, and this is a way for him to say their methodology failed. And I'm going to agree with him a little bit. I don't think that they had the best, most effective foreign policy. I disagreed with a lot of what Obama wanted to do. And he also, Trump also thought perhaps that Jerusalem has been the de facto capital for years and years and years. Let's finally acknowledge it.
Well, okay. That's thrown a few interesting angles into the conversation.
Answer that. Well,
no, certainly interesting, and I certainly agree with you about trying to understand and analyze the behavior and the future actions of the President of the United States of America in 2017, let alone God knows what's going to happen in 2018. Now, you brought in the fact that Sheldon Adelson and other leading figures of the Jewish community in America, and I'm sure inside Israel itself. Now, I wonder if the Jewish community, and community which is generally speaking quite well educated, what do they think of this idea of moving the capital to Jerusalem? I mean, in the light of the realization of the trouble it's going to cause internationally throughout the Arab world.
I have a variety of theories on this. First of all, I'm a centrist Democrat, but I have certain conservative leanings, and one of them is probably when it comes to politics in Israel, I'm a bit of a Zionist. But I do understand works effectively in theory, as Thomas Jefferson used to say, doesn't necessarily execute in practice.
Yeah.
And while Jerusalem may have been the de facto capital for years, officially naming it so is going to create a lot of tension, violence, and repercussions. However, I was going to preface this whole thing by saying Hamas has run Gaza for about a decade. That whole time, they haven't been building schools and hospitals and things to help the people. They've been building terror tunnels and bombs. So I think that there's a real split there in the fact that I don't see the Palestinians ever striving for democracy. And Americans as a whole consistently make the same mistake when it comes to other peoples, which is, we did this after 9/11, or the reaction is always, why would anybody do something like this? And it's like, we're almost always naturally assuming that everybody is going to want the same peace and democracy that we do. And I've always questioned whether or not the Hamas and the Palestinians are seeking that, because I don't think they are. And if they ever would have split Jerusalem and split the city, I don't think, based on history, would allow Jews into their parts. So how is that any kind of democratic warfare?
Okay. Well, you know, I guess that it's possible to argue, you know, who's right and who's wrong here. But I suppose the core, the main issue here is whether or not this will lead to an international violence and uprising, and will this lead to another bout of violence in the Middle East, particularly in Israel, Jerusalem?
It very well could. I don't want to to presuppose that there are going to be huge repercussions from this. I think a lot of what, again, actually I may be agreeing with Trump, what Kerry and Obama did was turned out to be wildly ineffective. And so, you know, the various repercussions as a result of that haven't been as disastrous as their detractors said they would be. But I see us banging a lot of drums in our country right now about everything Trump does, and nothing has been as disastrous as everybody claims it will be. And I think that this could be another circumstance. But I think it's a coalescence of a lot of different things. Yes, he is kowtowing to the religious right, but he's also kowtowing to wealthy Jewish donors, and he's also reacting to do something differently the Obama administration had done. So it wasn't one specific instance or situation or circumstance that caused Trump to act. He's doing it based on a few things.
You're doing it based on a few things. Let's talk about those in a second.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World. I'm talking to Rob Taube, an American TV commentator, best-selling author and writer for Huffington Post about Trump's decision to move the US Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, Rob, you've given us a whole perspective here of possible reasons why Trump is making this move, and one of them, as you said, is to appease to keep the God-right happy, so to speak. Now, I guess as a British citizen and as a member of, the world community in general, my feeling would be that how much of U.S. foreign policy is being driven by lobbying groups, and particularly lobbying groups that supply financial aid to the U.S. government. And I know what you're going to say, that all countries do this. Well, how much is U.S. foreign policy at the moment being guided by financial interests of lobbying groups?
That's a good question. There are certain aspects of foreign policy that fall out of my area of expertise, but I certainly have opinions about them.
Yeah.
And his reaction to the Trans-Pacific Partnership has the way he's dealt with that, I think, has been wrong. And his America First and isolationist behavior is very extreme. So I don't see how he's kowtowing to any lobbyists there. I don't know but then again, I mean, we've always had multinational oil corporations in the Mideast, and we've been serving their interests for years. So some things are going to be a constant. But Donald Trump definitely continues to break rules in many ways, shape, and form. But then again, conversely, he kowtows to powerful interests left and right.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of politics, because you don't know what he's going to do or say next.
And we'll find out tomorrow in the next tweet. So he's bypassing the normal systems of administration within the United States. He's not asking your permission as a media person, as a consensus maker, or senators or congresspeople of any kind, their opinion before issuing his next tweet. He just goes ahead and does it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very, very annoying man, I think. Very annoying man. But let's go back to the main argument. I mean, both Hamas in Gaza and the Iranian-backed Hezbollah in Lebanon have called for an intifada. The Pope, other members of the UN Security Council, including Russia and China, the Arab League, have all pushed back against this decision by Trump. I mean, isn't it not a Pandora's box of new problems in the Middle East, which I thought we were walking away from? I thought with the peace agreements and everything, we had started to move away from. And for what? For the status of having an embassy in Jerusalem and the status of Israel being able to declare Jerusalem its capital. Well, it won't be able to declare Jerusalem its capital, will it? Because it's going to take years and years and years for this to happen.
I think that I'm going to play devil's advocate
here.
A little bit.
Go ahead.
That what we've been doing in our foreign policy for years had not brought us any closer to any kind of success. I mean, if you go back to the Camp David peace talks, mm-hmm. Arafat could have had a lot of what he wanted back then, and he rejected it. And I've always found that side to be extremely intractable. So, and again, it's always been the de facto capital. I just see no real level of compromise there, and what they want, they launch launch a rocket. So perhaps it's a very Trumpian move. This is how Donald Trump rolls.
You just said, if they don't get what they want, who are they? I'm just interested to know.
I guess I'm referring to Hamas.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Palestinian people surely, you know, are not in position to argue, really, are they? I mean, they're not talking from a position of strength.
No, they're not. There's no easy answer here.
Yeah.
But what's been going on for the last many years, it doesn't seem as if we're moving ahead to any kind of accord. So when you, the way a Donald Trump behaves and reacts to something like this is to finally say, what's existed so far has not worked effectively. I'm going to do the opposite. I think that that's, you can count on that kind of behavior from Donald Trump in most circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Rob, geopolitically, do you think this is going to bolster Iran's position in the region as a sort of a rallying center for anti-Zionist, I suppose, activities, you know, in terms of supporting uprisings of one kind or another? And could this be, in fact, playing the devil's court and giving further information, inflaming the wounds and giving further ammunition to those people who want to cause violence and uprising? Killings.
It could be. I've been very concerned about how all of this Trump's idea of foreign policy will play out, because he behaves as if it's a very simple matter, and it's obviously far more complex than he could ever imagine. So when he makes sweeping, bold statements like, I'm putting an end to terrorism, or only I can do this, he may sound convincing, but if that were the case, we'd be living in a really perfect world, and that's just not really what's happening. So, yes, you know, there could be further repercussions as a result. I don't want to make any predictions and say this is going to happen or not happen. But for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So I think he certainly stirred the pot, and there will be repercussions. How severe, I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess looking at it from a distance and being involved with Russia as I am, could this sort of be a reaction to the fact that basically Russia's done so well in Syria, you know, and to detract the world's attention away from that by creating a new headlines, a new issue that everybody's talking about. And meanwhile, the Syria situation has sort of more or less been taken care of.
Yes, very much so. And another thing about Donald Trump is there is so much, it's a good Yiddish word, it's tumult.
Going on
in his administration, it's really hard to follow everything.
Yeah.
It's like, in order to cover Donald Trump, you almost have to have a PhD in Donald Trump. And just journalistically, people are breaking into segments and factions, because you could spend a day just covering his tweets. But which many of us do. I, in fact, was one of a journalist who he blocked on Twitter for a while, but he stopped blocking me.
Okay, well, I congratulate you, Rob. You've been unblocked on Donald Trump's Twitter account.
It's a great achievement.
You have yet to serve another day, a glorious day for your country and for Donald Trump. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed for your highly interesting insight, and hopefully our conversation today, listeners, will spark some perhaps controversial opinions and thoughts about what's going on in Israel. And if that happens, all of us at Sputnik would have done our job well. So thank you very much indeed, Rob, and thank you very much, listeners, for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. I always enjoy being on your show.